Radio.
This is a song of emotion, not tomorrow. It's a simple song. I want you to try to sing along. It just says,
I will sing of his goodness and his kindness and his mercy. I will sing.
It's a simple song.
Test here. We make sure we got everything in line here as we get ready to prepare for our show on this afternoon. We got Dr. Stefan Swilly in the house tonight. For those of you going to be joining us on the show, you want to call into the actual studio number from the area code 516-387-1220. We're going to have to leave and solidify ourselves just a little bit here. We're going to move forward and hear what the Word of God has to say with this great man of God, who I know is going to bring us a dynamic word on this afternoon. And we want to make sure we're going to hear from this man, God, and what he has to say is coming from the kingdom. Give us a few minutes here, and we'll be right back with you guys here in just a moment. Blessing for you guys to join us here at Harvest New Life Studios and Harvest New Life Church. I'm Pastor Charles Ellis, co-host on tonight, as we're going to ask you to have Reverend Dr. Stefan Swilly in the house on tonight. I'm quite sure you guys enjoyed us on yesterday. We had the man of God from Kerry Williams Ministry that had a powerful word that came from the kingdom of God. And also, as we continue to go forth with just a few announcements before we get going with this man of God, I want you guys to join us on tomorrow as we get into that series that we've been teaching on, the seven laws of the kingdom. And that'll be hosted by myself here at the Harvest Light Church, but it'll be on a different broadcast, which is called Spreaker.com. All the information you need will be on one of your social network platforms, or you can go to my website, which is HarvestNewLightChurch.com. You see all the information you need about all the information you need to know about these events that are taking place here at Harvest Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios. I want to also give a congratulations out. proud. I love you to my beautiful wife, co-pastor Patty Ellis, and all the work that she's doing in terms of keeping me supported in the ministry, and all my good friends is out there keeping us up, and to all my family, my sisters and my brothers who support and praying for this ministry as we go forth and do what God has called us to do. We're not going to delay the time here. We want to get the man of God online here, Dr. Stephan Swilly, which I know he's in the studio with us right now. Dr. Swilly, are you there?
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Yes, I'm glad to be with you. Excuse me. Glad to be with you on this day. I have a word tonight I'd like to deliver to the people. I always like to start out with a prayer. Before I begin, I'd like to thank Charles Ellis for allowing me to come on to the show. It's been a pleasure. It's not only been blessing me, but I hope it's been blessing you as well. All of you under the sound of my voice, let us pray before we get into God's word. Dear God, we pause just to say thank you. Thank you for being with us and taking us through the week up until the very hour. God, we ask that you remove me and let it be all of you. Speak to your people, dear God. Speak to their situations. Speak to their lives. Give them a word of inspiration from on high. Let someone's life be changed. Direction, new purpose, new beginning. While we ask him, we thank you, God. Thank you for being in our lives. And thank you for inspiring us to do it your way. We ask these things, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. The word tonight is going to be coming from Acts, the 12th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading from the first. That's Acts, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. It reads, Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to quarters of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I like to use for a subject tonight, I want to be delivered from the dungeon. I want to be delivered from the dungeon. Well, in this day, much of society and poorly most of the church, I feel, is depressed and downtrodden in dungeons over the things that have happened in their lives. Not only things that happen in your life, but things that you have seen, things that you have heard. As we look back, we can look at, because of 9/11, a failed economy, a decline in the job market, conflicts all around us, conflicts all over the world, unnecessary killing. It started with conflicts in Afghanistan, and then the war in Iraq, and your own financial, emotional, relational, and spiritual battles that many of us face. Most of us in the church feels overwhelmed and in a dungeon. Many today are in mental dungeons, capitalized by their own minds. It is important for you to know that you can be delivered from the dungeon. You know, first of all, I'm really sorry that folks of the church are into any dungeons at all, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm really sorry that any of the church is in a dungeon at all, because the Lord will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm really sorry that any of the church is in a dungeon at all, because he said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, if you are faced with anything, any problem, any situation, no matter how it may seem, you can be delivered from your dungeon. The word delivered, transferred in the, is didomi. That's translated delivered. There are two verb forms of the word. One is honor didomi, and the other is hypodidomi. It literally means to be delivered or to give up. Hypodidomi, or give up. I'm simply trying to help you to understand here. If you're going to be delivered from your dungeon, you're going to have to speak some things into your own situation. I said you're going to have to speak some things in your own life. You're going to have to speak some things in your own situation. You're going to have to talk to yourself sometimes. Not only just talk to yourself, but you need to answer the right questions. Much of the church has been misused the principles that the power of life and death, it is in your tongue. Many of us have gotten to where we are because of what we say. We got to remember that if we're going to have a positive results, we've got to preach and teach and speak positive things. Yes, you got to speak to yourself. You got to be positive. When you find yourself in the midst of a dungeon, do not be afraid to speak didomi. Hanodimi or apodidomi. which means delivered. I'm delivered over. I'm going to give up the devil. I'm giving my burdens back. My heartaches, my trials, I'm giving them back to you. We've got to begin to speak our own prosperity in our own lives. See, that is the burden that many of us find ourselves in. That's the dungeon that we find ourselves in. That's the mental state that our nation finds itself in. Yes, we have a certain burst of pride because all of a sudden we seem to have won the war in Iraq and have a certain burst of pride. The Bible says that pride comes before fall. Yes, I said pride comes before fall. Yes, you got to speak to your situation. There's a story here in the text about another dungeon experience. This dungeon experience had nothing to do with a mental dungeon. It had more to do with the physical dungeon. There's some deliverance in the midst of this dungeon. Herod, at the time of Easter, at the time of the Passover, at the time of this celebration, would always try to give the people what they want. Herod was a good politician. And any good politician knows that if you're going to be popular as a politician, you have to say what the people want to hear. You're going to have to give the people what they want. Unfortunately, Donald Trump is not giving the people what they want. I believe that Hillary is telling the people what they need to hear. You've got to learn to speak things that people want to hear. I don't believe that Donald Trump is speaking what people want to hear. I believe that Hillary will be a greater fit, but I'm not telling you who to vote for. But I believe that people want to hear the right things. You've got to learn to deal with the issues that the people want to hear. You've got to learn to become a part of the voice and a heartbeat of the community. If you want to be a good politician, Herod saw as he brought a great Christian, James, before the people killed him, he saw that it pleased the people. I heard the other day two men who were talking about ride the wave. If you create a wave, other people will try to ride it with you. A good politician knows that if you find something that pleases the people, then they're going to ride it as long as they can. Herod saw that this wave was a good one to ride because the people was pleased when they decided to kill a Christian. So he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get another Christian. He heard about Peter, and he knew that Peter was somebody in the Christian community. If you don't mind, let me pause right here because there are some folks in the church that wants to be somebody. You have to be careful about trying to be somebody in the church because when you set yourself up and you may as well know that somebody is going to try to knock you down. It's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. You better be careful about trying to be somebody else. Peter was somebody, and so Peter was chosen, and because Peter was such powerful and influential individuals in the Christian community, Herod realized that I just can't put him anywhere. I've got to make sure that he is protected. Yes. I've got to hold him until I get maximum impact from his demise. That's why he didn't kill him right off. I've got to hold him for a while. See, some of you don't know that the devil has got you in a holding pattern. You know, we fly sometime on airplanes, and before we get to land, sometimes the field is backed up. The air traffic controllers will put you in a holding pattern. Some of you better be careful because the devil has got you in a holding pattern. I don't want you to go down this road too far. You need to know that he has got you in a holding pattern. Brothers, you're looking at some woman too long and you got a wife, you're in a holding pattern. Sisters, under the sign of my voice, if you're looking at some man too long and you know he has a wife, you're in a holding pattern. You're in a holding pattern. You are being set up for a fall before you come into a landing. If you find yourself in a holding pattern, let me encourage you to pray, so that God can give you a safe and successful landing. See, Peter was chosen because he was somebody. He was put on hold by Herod. Herod decided that I would kill him, but I better hold him tight because, you know, I don't want him to get away. You know, Herod already had some experiences. See, they thought that Jesus had got away. They wanted to make sure that he was secured and protected so he would not get away. In the text, it talks about that they put him in the hands of four quaternions of soldiers. Let me help you understand that Herod wanted him to be protected because a quaternion of soldiers. Let me help you understand. Herod wanted him to be protected because a quaternion of soldiers is four soldiers. But he put him in the midst of four quaternion soldiers, meaning that he had 16 soldiers to guard one man. 16 soldiers now to guard one man. There's a reason why they put Christians down in the deepest part of the prison. Paul set an example in the other brothers and the other Christian brotherhoods. If you put them in the general populations, they would turn prisoners, that turned the prison into a prison meeting. They would turn the prison into a prayer meeting. They would have folks celebrating the Lord in the midst of general population. They decided we can put these Christians here in the general populations. You've got to put them in the dungeon. Consequently, some of you are wondering, why can't I just have surface problems like the rest of the society? Why can't my burdens be light? Why can't my burdens be few? You've got to understand, when you are a Christian, you are put into the dungeon. He put him into the dungeon. But as if that was not enough, you know, there was levels, and every level had his own guards. They rotated shifts. But you've got to understand something here. Herod was afraid that Peter may get broken out and he might get away. these four quartering of soldiers here is what they're tasked to do. While Peter was in the dungeon, they had four soldiers surrounding him. Two of them shackled to him all the time. One guarding his back and one guarding his front. And there was always in a dungeon a guard on the door. Because there was four quartering of soldiers. Each of those quartering soldiers, they pulled 16-hour shifts. Most of us are accustomed to working 8-hour shifts. Some of us 10 and some of us 12. You know how you feel when you get through 8, 10, or 12 hours. Most of the time you get worn out. If you only work 6 hours, you know that, you know what I mean? If you went to work at 7 o'clock in the morning and you were home by 1, you would feel great, wouldn't you? See, they had 6-hour shifts. The reason why Herod set that up was so the soldiers would not get tired of protecting Peter. Consequently, what happened here is, in the text, they rotated every 6 hours. See, I want to tell you something. There is a verse here in the text that says, while Peter was in prison, there were prayers going on from the church. It was continuing. I said there was prayer going on from the church. I want to tell you what happened when the church prays. When the church prays, the Spirit of God will start to move. When the church prays, see, some folks, they don't like to send their name. They don't like coming to the altar. They don't want anybody knowing their problem. I'm telling you that there's a power when the church prays. The church was praying while Peter was in prison. And I want to tell you something. Nothing moves like the voice of his people. God moved when he heard the voice of the Israelites and the Jews crying out from Egypt. After 400 years of captivity, he heard their voices, and he sent them a deliverer. When the church prays, my brothers and my sisters, something happens when the church prays. It was late in the evening. You have to understand that these soldiers were pulling 6-hour shifts. They had no reason to be sleepy. But late in the evening, Peter went to sleep. Isn't it amazing how when a Christian gets in trouble and they can just go to sleep? You're talking about peace. You're in a prison on death row. And you are about to be slaughtered. And what do? You lie down and go to sleep. You're talking about the joy of the Lord is our strength. You're talking about peace that surpasses all understanding. Peter went to sleep. In the midst of his storm, in the midst of his trials, he went on to sleep. But something happened while he was sleeping. Isn't it amazing how good God can move when we are asleep?
God can do some things while you are asleep. All the time when you are sleeping, your eyes is not closed. You need to know that God can do something amazing. Things when you are not even looking. You won't even see it. These soldiers standing around, a quarter of them, two shackled to Peter, and they had shackles on his feet. That was what they did to the prisoners that was in the dungeon. The Lord moved. Why? Simply because of the prayers of the church. He decided to deliver Peter while the church was praying. The Lord decided to deliver Peter. You've got to understand something here. I know that Herod said that he was going to die. They had him bound in prison, but you cannot curse what God has blessed. You cannot abort the plan. I say you cannot abort the plan, the purpose, the ministry of God. If God said that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I don't care what you do. The psalmist says what God has for you, it is for you. I'm talking to you out there in radio land. All of you, my brothers and sisters, the devil, he can't shake it. If he can break it, if he can't break it, he can't stake it. He can't block it. I don't care what he tries to do. No weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. And when God has a purpose for my life, God has a purpose for Peter. While the church was praying, a light shined into the prison, and the angels of the Lord came in. When the angels of the Lord shined the light into the prison, when the light of the Lord shines on things, that's when things begin to happen. I said when the light of the Lord shines on you, the things begin to happen in your life. What God does when his light shines down on you, Peter chains that were shackled to him fell off of him. His shackles were loose. When the light of the Lord shines on you, things just start to break loose. Anybody under the sound of my voice have ever had light, had the light of the Lord shine on you? You were bound up and things had you down. You were all depressed and down, and all of a sudden, things just broke loose. When the light of the Lord shines on you, things begin to break loose. See, his shackles fell off. Peter did not wake up. Isn't that amazing? You're talking about a deep sleep. When you got the peace of the Lord, so the angels come to Peter, and in order to wake him up, he has to hit him on the side. I told you I was going to tell you how to get delivered from the dungeon. Thank God that we are here now. Yes, I heard you crying, and I've been dying to tell you. Well, my brothers and my sisters, the first thing that happened when the light shined on Peter was his shackles fell off. The the first thing that you have to understand is if you want to be delivered from your dungeon, is to get out of the darkness and into the marvelous light. Some of you are looking for a blessing, but you are still in dark places. Some of you are looking for a blessing, but you're still walking in the shadow of times. You've got to get away from the shadow of times and the shadow of things, dark peoples and dark places and dark situations, and find yourself in the light of the Lord. Yes, you got to move from some places and get into where He is. Yes, I heard someone said not long ago, if you want to be blessed, all you have to do is to hang around blessed people. If you want to get out of the dungeon, you've got to get around blessed people. Yes, I said the light shined and his shackles fell off. Yes. The angel of the Lord touched him in the side. And the first thing he said was, he said, get up. Yes, you want to get out of your dungeon. And the first thing you have to do, my brothers and sisters, is you've got to get up. Yes, all of you, excuse me, under the sound of my voice. Yes, you have to get up. Too many Christians are still laying on your easy boy or laying on the couch. You're still on a couch potato, not talking about in front of your television. There are too many bench warmers in the church. Too many folks are not involved in the ministry. Too many folks are not doing anything. You want to get out of your dungeon. You've got to get up. Yes, the first thing you need to do is get up. Yes, you've got to get up, my brothers and sisters. Yes, you've got to get up. God wants you to get up and get into the marvelous light. Yes, I said you've got to get up. And the second thing he did was he told Peter to put on your clothes. He said, put your clothes on. Some of us can't get into the blessing plan of God because you are naked. You got to put on your clothes. Yes, some of you come to church. I'm talking about you're out. I'm not talking about your outfit. Yes, but he says, I'm not talking about your clothes. I'm talking about getting dressed for worship, getting dressed for praise, getting dressed for prayer. I'm talking about, do you come to church ready or do you have to get pumped up when you get here? Why don't you be pumped up when you get here? Because you haven't had Jesus on your mind. Why don't you have to be pumped up when you get to church? You ought to wake up telling the Lord thank you after all the things he had brought you through. Yes, he's been good to you. You did not have to get to where you are right now. There's somebody on the streets in your neighborhood that couldn't even get up. When you get up, you ought to tell the Lord thank you. Yes. First of all, you've got to get up. And second, you've got to get dressed. You've got to come prepared to serve. Come prepared to serve the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. I said wait on the Lord, and he will turn your life around. And finally, if you want to get delivered, you got to follow Jesus. That's what the angel told him. He told him to get up, get dressed, and follow me. If you're going to get there, you've got to begin to follow Jesus. Some of you have missed the blessing plan of God because you are following the wrong people. Everybody that comes to church is not following the pastor. Everybody that comes to church is not following the ministry leaders. Some folks come to church shopping, looking for a husband or looking for a wife, looking for a boyfriend or looking for a girlfriend. Business folks come looking for some customers. Folks come to church for all kinds of reasons. Yes, when you begin to follow Jesus, you can get delivered. Yes, I say you can be delivered. He can make all the difference in the world. Jesus has made the difference in my life. Yes, he will get you up. He will turn your life around. He did it for me, and he can do the same thing for you. Get up, get dressed, and follow Jesus. There is nobody like Jesus. He can fix whatever your problem is. That's how you get delivered from your dungeon. Yes, I told you about your mental dungeon, about Peter's actual dungeon experience. As I close today, let me tell you about another dungeon. Yes, there was a little old lady. She was in a dungeon of poverty. She was in a dungeon of despair. But she was not in the dungeon of lack of praise. She knew that regardless of her situation and regardless of her circumstances, that if she would just hold on to God's unchanging hand, everything would be all right. And this old lady, her name was Aunt May. Aunt May was a good worker. She was always been right around the church. She was one of those members that you didn't have to look for when things were going to happen. Whenever the church was about to start, Aunt May was always on our post. Anybody knows that it's always good to be on your post. Aunt May, after being in church for a long time, she fell on hard times. Her body got frail. Aunt May was 90 years old. Just like some of us, Aunt May had a grandson that was on crack. And this grandson took advantage of her. Everything that she had in her little apartment, everything that was of value, he would come in and he would smoke it up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He would come in and sell all of her stuff. One thing about Aunt May, she had an atheist landlord. And every time he would come by her complex, he would knock on Aunt May's door and say, "How are you doing today?" Aunt May would always remember Jesus, "I never shall forget. What you done for me." And every time she would say, "I'm doing just fine. The Lord is good. The Lord is kind. And his mercy is divine." And after a while, the old man got tired of hearing this old woman. And he told her, "Listen here, every time I come by, you telling me how good the Lord has been to you. But when I look around your place, you ain't got nothing on the wall. You ain't got anything.
Quaternion.
You barely got food. And Aunt May said, that's all right. Because I know that the Lord has been good to me. And I don't care what you say. For the Lord is my rock and my salvation. Well, one day, that old man decided I had enough, and I'm going to fix Aunt May. Aunt May was out all over. She was out of all her food, and she didn't have anything in her cupboards. All that was in the refrigerator was a light bulb. And Aunt May got up that morning and decided, I believe I'll go find her a job. 90 years old, going out to look for a job. But while she was gone, that old landlord came into her apartment, looked in her refrigerator, looked in her cupboard, and said, she don't have anything. I'm gonna fix her today. So he went down to the grocery market. He brought a whole lot of groceries. He brought a whole lot of stuff, and he brought it back to Aunt May's apartment. And he put it in her refrigerator and filled it up. And he put it in her cupboard, and he filled it up. And he went back and hid behind the bushes and waited on Aunt May to come home. And after a while, after a feeble search for a job for a 90-year-old woman, she came back home with a smile on her face. She didn't find a job. She didn't have any money. But she said, I know that the Lord will take care of me. Aunt May went into her apartment, and she looked into her refrigerator, and she looked into her cupboard. You know what she did. She started to shout, and she said, thank you, Lord, for what you done for me. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, when I came home, my refrigerator was full. My cupboard was full. The Lord brought me some groceries and filled my house. That old lady looked at him and said, I want you to know something, that it wasn't the Lord that did that for you. She said, son, you don't know just how good that God has been to me. He filled my house. He brought me some groceries. He said, no, Aunt May, the Lord didn't give you that groceries. He said, oh, yes, the Lord brought those groceries. He said, no, it wasn't the Lord that brought those groceries. I filled your refrigerator. I feel your cupboard. She said, son, you don't know what the Lord, it was the Lord that brought me those groceries. He looked at her and said, no, I brought the groceries. She said, no, son, you didn't buy those groceries. The Lord brought the groceries, and you are just the food that paid for them. Yes. I said, he was just the food that paid for them. Yes. I say that the Lord can deliver you from whatever situation that you may find yourself in. He can deliver you from your dungeon. For those of you who are under the sound of my voice, who have been inspired by this message, you can call me at 1-516-387-1220. With any concerns you may have, you can call me with any questions you may have. Also, for ministry opportunities, you can call me at, I'm located here in Chester, Virginia. I can be reached at 804-919-1847. That's Dr. Stefan Swilly. That's 804-919-1847. Again, I'd like to thank Pastor Charles Ellis for this opportunity. And the Lord keep blessing us in a special way. Well, I'll stick around for a while and
amen.
Ascertain any questions.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. Swilly, for being a part of, you know, this radio station today. It was just a, you know, it's a really powerful word in the dungeon. And as he made forth the comment, for those who want to call into the radio station and want to give a part of whatever you have to say to deal with this conversation and with this word that came forth, they so powerfully, they're the dungeon. You know, the number to call in is 516. As you call in the 516, it's going to be 516-387-1220. That'll get you into the studio. But if you have a question or anything, you want to just push the number one on your phone. That'll bring you right up, and the operator will route you in to hear what the man of God has spoken on this afternoon. But and as always, I'm going to get my questions in. In the course of time, you're talking about this thing that happened with King Agrippa, which is actually Agrippa's son. You know, he apparently followed the rules and regulations of some of the things that happened, you know, in the providence of Rome, and how we'll talk about the process of how Peter was actually in a position of being a mockery of what the people was pleased to see. And that was the process of seeing one of the, God's people go down, and the process of how him being killed, you know, was process of the sword. Now, you're talking about killing somebody with a sword or injecting something in somebody. That's a great hate for the people of God in terms of what they are pleasing for the non-believers. You know, it kind of reminds me of a word we tweak over the book of John. I think it's chapter 15, if I am mistaken, how God declared that, you know, I command that the greater thing you do is to love. But one of the bigger things he's saying that, they, you know, look, if they hate you, they hated me first. So as we being Christian, as being man of God, don't be surprised about some of the squadrons of events that come around our life and try to hinder us from what God has declared us to be in the season which we're in, and which we're dealing with as of right now, Pastor Swilly. You know, so many miracles that even in the midst of these squadron of soldiers surrounding Peter with the assurance of knowing that he's going to get a performance out of him on the following day, but God intervened. You know, it talks, you know, I think it, it really brings some more attention to me how the Word of God says, is there anything too hard for God to do? You know, that's Jeremiah 32:17, even in the physical as well as the flesh. The Word of God says, impossible situations. Is there anything too hard for me to do? But in the midst of this particular story, you know, you talk about over here in the book of Acts, you know, it was really that the Christians, and much so now, are being used really kind of torn of a mockery right now. And they've been shamed, like, where is your God? With all the events that's going on around here, let's come together, let's pray. But we got to believe and understand that we got to stand firm in what God has declared us to be. And he said prayer does change things. It doesn't matter how far you down in a hole. You know, if somebody got to pump light down to you, God can bring you out of whatever condition you're in and allow your future to be so bright. And I'm telling you, man of God, you got to put sunglasses on every way you go. That's if you believe and what the Word of God can do in your life. And for, let's say once again, for those who want to call in and have a question for Dr. Stefan Swilly, can do so at area code 516-387-1220. And as I'm waiting on the callers to come in, but the lines are lit up here, I want to see who's got the process of calling in. But on the process, on one of the course, one of the parts of the story, I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on that verse 4. Of the book of Acts chapter 12, and when they talked about the process that when he had apprehended him, they put him in the, and they put him in prison, and they delivered him unto four squadron soldiers. You're talking about the shift work, and how the enemy is really designed to hold us at bay as shift work. He works around the clock trying to stop the very blessings that God has for us by putting the enemy, which is some of his henchmen, in position to occupy our mind, to make us feel other than what God declared us to be. Can you give me a little bit more on that?
Yes. What the text was talking about is, and when they had apprehended him, they had stopped them. They had
They had stopped him and put him in prison. And when they put him in prison, he got delivered.
Amen.
He got delivered when he was in prison. That tells us that whatever situation you may find yourself in, no matter how hard it may seem to you, that's when God will show up.
Amen.
And bring you out. Debt may be over your head, but that's when God will bail you out. You may be battling with a wayward child, and you're tired, and he'll come and bail you out.
In the context of the entertainment part, I was reading one of the areas over in when you look at just some of the cohesiveness, as I say, to that particular story. I was looking at what you call the international version, and it says in that parallel version, he said, which I am an ambassador in chains. Paul speaks about his process of being in prison as well with Silas, but he said, I'm an ambassador in chains. And when you spoke about the process, how God has called us to be able to call things to be not to what they were, and to be able to declare things that come from the kingdom of God, that we have the dominion, and we have been given the ability to be able to speak, and things have to happen. But it's due to the lack of faith, that when we look at it from the physical standpoint of view, we always seem to look at what God doesn't have the ability to do because of what we look at it from the physical standpoint. We feel the ailment, we feel the sickness, we feel the tension, we feel the pressure, we hear the word. Are coming through the letters that come through the mail, but where is the faith as been an ambassador? Now you told me, and I spoke to you briefly about this, that how some of the situation you was in has been a soldier, and I'm gonna say the soldier in the army or a military veteran, how foreign relations you had to deal with, but being in that foreign country, you was a representative of the United States. How will we fit that in terms of us being walking in faith? Us being looking at what happened with Peter, but the prayers are yet going forth for him, that he be delivered from under the squadron of his soldiers. How will we mechanically screw that into place, that what will happen to Peter in our own lives when we're going through conditions and situations and circumstances? I mean, we be in ditches, orange cones everywhere, and we just see red tape, and we don't know which way to go. And we look at Peter's situation. How is that enlightening in terms of what Paul speaks about in Ephesians 6 and 20? He said, I am an ambassador in chains. I pray that I declare that fearlessly as I should. In other words, he said, I don't want to be feared in where I'm at because I know there's a deliverer. So goes with Peter. Is that something that we are lacking, even as being members of the church? Are we coming in? Are we not having the faith that we need to have? That we're not having? Are we looking at the pastor? Are we looking at what is it that's causing us not to have that seed completely planted deeply as it needs to be planted, when it seems like everything around us is just going haywire, just going out of whack?
Well, that's the enemy. That's how the enemy operates. He wants to trick you. He wants you not to focus on your faith. He wants you to not operate in faith. And when you're not operating in faith, you're operating in fear. And that's something that God don't want us to do. And what I encourage our hearers is, whenever you find yourself in any situation, just understand that nothing is too hard for God. And if you look in Psalms 91:3,
Amen.
It says that he will deliver you. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. If he would deliver you, if God said he would deliver you, no matter how or what situation you may find yourself in, you have to believe it.
Amen. Amen.
Believe it. Amen. And receive it. And
Amen.
And you better believe that help is on the way.
Amen. Amen. You
times have you how many
Amen.
Times have
found yourself wondering what was going to happen, and the end results was a good one. Although you went through, but the end result was in your favor.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, that's a word, because I know you spoke about that when you spoke about over when you, last week, I believe the week before last, with Pastor Pearson, we were all together, and you spoke about the Daniel 3 circumstance when he was supposed to bow to those statues. But those men of God over in Daniel chapter 3 and the 17th verse, they said, but they declared, you know, we're not going to serve you, you know, O Nebuchadnezzar, neither will we bow to the God that you have made. And they pronounced the word, and even if our God don't deliver us, we're still not going to serve this golden statue, this image that you have up here. It's true power of belief and faith through those three Hebrew boys that knew that even the God that they served, when it seemed like and it looked like from a physical standpoint of view, that they had the power with all that they had around them. The all these different governors, the different people, but they stayed firm in who they believed in. How, as for the listener's point of view, in the midst of adversity, I'm talking about family coming at you, when friends coming at you, when your workers coming at you, health and strength, I mean everything that's coming at you, and you seem like you don't know which way to go. How would you relate that story in comparison to Daniel chapter 3, and also what King Agrippa did with the process of trying to handle with Peter? I mean, what are we looking at from a nutshell, and that we're not getting the focus of these very particular stories, and then we're not bringing them to reality? What is it? Is it the leadership? Is it just us not focusing? Where are we losing the mark in this walk with Christ? Because we could talk our heads off all day, but where are we losing? What do you see, as a pastor, what do you see us losing the mark at? What's happening? It's a number of things I know you could talk about. Give me something that give these people something that they can hear and understand that I'm trying, I'm doing everything I need to do, but pastor, it still ain't working. And my faith is really getting discouraged, and I don't seem to trust in anybody, I don't believe in anybody, and I mean, I don't understand. What encouraging word do you have for them in a situation like this?
Well, you gotta be around people that believe. The people that can encourage you. People that can, see, focus on your deliverance and not your situation that you're in. See, a lot of times, the reason why we don't get delivered is because we're talking to the wrong people.
Wow.
People will bring you down. But if you focus around people that really and truly trust and believe in God, they're encouraging you to hang in there. They're telling you, they're praying with you, they're praying for you, they're believing for you. That's all we have to hang on. That's what we need to hang our hat on. We got to get out of, watch the circles that you travel in.
I think Paul speaks about that verse in what you spoke, what you're speaking over in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15:33. He talks about how the deceiving of evil communication, the corruptness of what you hang around, you know. And I can remember, you know, Dr. Swilly, when my mother used to buy fruit, and they used to can a lot of fruits and things in the household, and after a certain time, when she hadn't got to a certain bushel of fruit, and if it sat there too long, those nets would come in, and sometimes, and I hear what you're saying, nets are designed to corrupt good fruit, because the fruit is at the bottom, never gets a chance to breathe and see the light, so it gets smothered, and some of the things that we hang around with is the nets, and all they do is designed to destroy good fruit. And we got a lot of nets that's in our lives. And how do you get rid of the nets in your life is you got to, you know, pull out the old fruit, pull out the old stuff that's causing us to be decayed. And Paul says that, but that be not deceived, you know, that evil communication, it corrupts, it deceives, you know, it misleads good direction. And I think that's one of the biggest things. But still, I revert back to the question, is that when you're led by the Spirit and you're asking God, okay, show me, where is it that I need to go? Who is it I need to be with? What community or what service did I need to attend? That, you know, I know I've been taught the word right by my mother, and she was told me, but yet there's something missing. You know, how does this apply to the process? And you said about prayer. How would you tell a person that's going through that situation?
Basically, I'll get down in the dirt with them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
I'll get down in the dirt with them. And I'll read the word to them and show them in the word their deliverance. And I'll take them straight to Hebrews 11:1.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And tell them, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. In other words, you may not see it, but if you believe it and you have faith, you can receive it. You can come out of that situation that you're in.
Amen. 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 But Paul talks about how to find the way. I think he talks about Romans. Even as he's been a great man of God, the Apostle Paul, I mean, he found himself being targeted by the enemy in his flesh over in, what is it, Romans 7:15? When I try to do right.
Yes.
And like evil is always present. It's always around me. But when you say to get out in the dirt, Paul began to recognize that it wasn't the people, it was actually the spirit. Because Ephesians tells us we fight not against the flesh and the blood. It is not the people. It's the spirits that we dwell around that hadn't come clean in the way of salvation. The conviction is that in them is being convicted on you.
Yes.
I mean, because I got a lot of people that ask me a lot of questions all the time. Non-believers, you know, I'm around people to say their faith, and I'm around people. Well, you know, we all say it by our mouth. You know, Paul said it's not by lip service, it's by action. James speaks about that. You know, and when you read in the book of Acts, you see clearly that the work that God done in the life of Peter after killing James, John's brother, James, with the sword, they was looking to please to do another job on the Peter. But in the midst of the squadrons of soldiers, if I'm not mistaken, the history served me right, I'm quite sure you can help me on this, those actually soldiers, men, that was actually shackled to those soldiers, I think, and that time of relief or in between, they had to unshackle and shackle another soldier in there. If you could help me, I think there's some of the stuff in your seminary I used to read about that process, is how did the Roman soldiers hold the soldiers prisoner? And they say, well, actually, to know that it wasn't going to be escape, the soldier was actually shackled to the prisoner was actually shackled to the soldier, you know. And I'm trying to figure, like, how did that? That's a Houdini escape right there. If God brought you out of that, you know, you know, because that's amazing. I mean, what the power of God can do right up under the devil's eyes, God can bring you out when prayer was yet going up for him. God delivered him right under the enemy eyes. He pulled him out of there. Loose
yourself.
Right. Without a key. Guard yourself. Go ahead.
He did it without a key.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That was a Houdini move.
Amen. Amen.
God did it without a key. He let the shackles broke without a key going into it.
Amen. Didn't even hit the hole.
Free.
God loosed it. Remember, that's the hit right there. When God looses you and brings you out.
When God brings you out, you out.
Supernaturally.
You better move.
Amen. When he told him to gird himself and gird his sandals, I can imagine Peter moving so quickly.
Yeah.
And I said, this is the only opportunity I got. And I heard you say some of us missed that opportunity. A lot of us missed that opportunity, you said. And that's for the reason, because we're not being led by the Spirit, as the Word of God says in the book of Galatians, be led by the Spirit. If you're not under the flesh, I mean, because we're not praying constantly, asking God for deliverance and guidance, but yet we want deliverance from the Lord, but we don't want to put the time in the Lord. I noticed that with a lot of Christians. They want to take time to pray and constantly pray. I mean, get down on their knees and talk to God about it. They don't want to do that. Go into their secret place, shut the door. And God will reveal to them openly. They want to set. They want to watch TV. They want to see all the good events that's going on. They know every show that comes on. They believe the TV, matter of fact, before they believe God. And God got a direct line of communication with them. I think Romans talks about that in Romans 10:8-9. Where is the word? It's not. It's in your mouth is what gets you out of whatever it is that you're in. Not the TV. Not the TV evangelist. Not the TV preacher. It's your own relationship. And I think we all... to the point that when God began to deliver me and bring me all I learned, as my mother told me, you got to have a relationship. Whether you, if you're dating a young man, the only way you're going to come to matrimony with them is you got to have a relationship. You got to know about them, who they are. No man jumps into a relationship to a point, or no woman jumps into a relationship without first knowing how to handle that relationship. And I think that's a big thing that's in the body of Christ. I think it's become just a traditional thing. Well, I go to church on Sunday, and then I've done my deed for the day, and I come back home and watch all the NBA stations, all the television shows and everything else, but I don't sit down and study my lesson and get down on my knees and go to university and theology and talk to God about how he's going to bring me out of my shortcomings or whatever it is I'm dealing with. I believe when you talk to God about things, Stefan, I know, and I'm not... I don't want y'all to, those on the line, to misquote me when I say to Stefan, because I've been knowing him for years. Dr. Stefan, and he knows me as Charles, so I don't feel out of name about titles, and that, you know, I'm not into that. You know, when it comes down to people who know me and understand, but I am respected in what I do as well as he is. But we don't want to go to the, when we in prison, we don't want to get out on our knees and seek God for the kind of combination we need to get out of the situation that we're in. Did I say something there, Pastor Swilly? I mean, I'm trying to see something here. God's got a skeleton key for everything.
Yes.
He's got a skeleton key to bring you out of whatever it is that you're going through. And when we look at the situation that actually, when you talked about the situation that Peter was in dealing with Herod, I mean, a heinous man who thrived on actually bringing down God's people. In the process of those people, even Peter may not have a chance to do that, but there was other people in the actual family with Peter who knew Peter was a praying man. They prayed for him. And they said the prayers constantly went up for Peter. And as prayers continued to go up for Peter, then the blessings came down. God sent that man a skeleton key that no man has never seen. He sent a key that no man has never seen before. And when he slipped out of that thing, I'm telling you, the gates began to be automatic. When God brings you away from a squadron, or whatever it is that's holding you, circumstances, finances, situation, health, conditions, whatever it is, when God brings you out, as you said before, when he breaks a shackle, he breaks the shackle, and it can never be shackled again. It's permanently broken. Then when we understand that the key to everything that we go through is on our knees and talking to God and finding that secret place. Man, this is a powerful session that that for those who are maybe some that are still coming on the line, we're with Dr. Stefan Swilly out of Saginaw, Michigan, which is now stays in Chester, Virginia. You know, he's me and them homeboys from actually out of Saginaw. But I want you guys to know that the number you can call in is, area code is 516-387-1220. Any questions or anything you want to speak on and say to this great word that came forth to Dr. Swilly, you're able to do that as of now before we go ahead and get off the air, because we thank you guys for joining and be a part of the service, and it's always a pleasure for you to join us here on every program we have here at Harvest and Light Church. But Dr. Swilly, we got the phone lines lit up, but there's no questions and answers coming in. But we want to go ahead and let you get your last remarks out, give some words of encouragement to the people, and let them realize and understand, man, that God is yet still on the throne.
I'd just like to thank everyone that tuned in tonight. I'd just like you to keep the faith and continue to doing what is required of us from him. and you will be blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I just like to thank everyone that tuned in, those that came on the line, those that had questions, didn't ask questions. I'd like to thank you. And I'd like to thank Pastor Charles Ellis for this opportunity.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, it is truly an opportunity.
I enjoyed being with these sessions on this Wednesday night and the last four nights. I enjoyed.
Amen.
And be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
Continue to be encouraged. Continue to lift them up in everything you do and say. And you will be blessed, my brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Just remember, we in this thing together, the faith.
Amen. Go ahead, Pastor Swilly. We want to make sure our time is about to relapse. And the man of God said, keep the faith. Keep your faith. Stay in tune. This is a very good story for you to study tonight, look over it for your bedtime, rest. Look at this. But we thank Dr. Stephan Swilly for being with us all tonight. And we encourage you to continue to stay tuned to some of the stations we have at Harvest and Light Church, because there's always something we're doing with the work of the Lord. Turn to the King. God bless you, and God keep you, and thank you for being a part of this service. Thank you.
And everything I pray my own world, so I ain't got a witness plan. No pain, no redress. I cast it out my light. In the darkness of the wicked, I say, let there be light. And it shines so bright. Stars in the sky, light up the whole night. Yeah, I speak things into existence like a true prophet. And I ain't got a witness for being, I don't cop it. I'm bringing victory, I'm wondering what you see. And I'm the regular artist, so you be holiday kings. Look at the trees and the flowers on the earth. How my God supply they food, it ain't even got a word. Yeah, so with the faith that I got, I won't see. I can walk across the whole like it was made of concrete. Yeah, because I'm a king, I was made in the dead. I'm close enough that you can see my God's fear. Yeah, image of a God, kingship is in my blood. And I'm more than a hustler, far from a thug. Yeah, I'm the God, yeah, drunk in the spirit. Demons in hell are trembling whenever I declare that I'm a king. Walking with the armor of God, I'm like Job with his faith. On the mission for God, I'm a king.
That's right.
Filled up with the spirit. And if you watch it close enough, then you can see it in fear of a king. That's right, nothing more, nothing less. But I'm blessed. Just look me in the face, no stress. I ain't got a question about circumstances. I can speak to the problem, change the answer. God made man, that means the image God has done. So we can have dominion and replenish the earth. So that means same when God made all these things. The three words, let there be. I can use the same three words, let there be a break. A healing, a financial blessing. For everybody listening, see, overcomer, speak, overcomer, type things. You need to be in the overcomer, speak that I'm a king. I'm more than a conqueror, homie, I overcame. By the blood and the word of my testimony. So if you're listening and doing exactly what you heard, and you're not just a hero, but a doer of the word. Anything less than rich is absurd. I ain't tripping no money, man. Consider the birds how they fly. Name got money to buy. They can survive on God's unlimited food supply. So if God makes you finish the feed, the deed, he can supply me with a house for free, without a lease. So the income I got, get used for the kingdom builder. But keep it quiet, that's kingdom. I was made in the image of God. Kingship is in my blood, and I'm more than a hustler. Far from a thug, man, I'm high off the gospel. Drunk in the spirit, demons in hell, a